Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth, who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this ninth day of September 2020. And I always love having back as a returning guest on this program somebody who has truly become one of my very favorite guests, and also, it seems, a favorite guest of many in my audience, and his name is Roger Salter. He is rector of St. Matthew's Anglican Church in Birmingham, Alabama. And today we are going to be addressing a very important theme, a choice of pastors, Martin Luther or N.T. Wright. An Anglican rector warns Christ Church about a very popular and very heretical Anglican scholar. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Roger Salter.
It's a genuine privilege to be with you, Chris. A great joy.
I am glad that you share my joy in having you back on. And I want to make it clear to our listeners, this topic today was my decision, my choice, because of the fact that I believe N.T. Wright has wrought havoc in the body of Christ, perhaps even more specifically, or especially in some of the circles that I have traveled in theologically. I think that Reformed people had been most susceptible to N.T. Wright for some reason, and has led them into embracing the new perspective on Paul, which I and a multitude of Reformed scholars, theologians, and pastors I know share my opinion with me that that is a dangerous and heretical concept, the new perspective on Paul, and other things that N.T. Wright has popularized. But that is the reason why we are discussing this today. And my guest did not voluntarily choose this topic, but I chose it for him, and he agreed. But before we go into this subject at hand, Roger, as we always do, especially for the sake of my listeners who have not yet heard you on this show, or they're not familiar with your blog, Living Oracles, tell our listeners about St. Matthew's Anglican Church in Birmingham, Alabama.
Well, we're a small group of folk, and we hope to be loyal to the Anglican heritage, which, of course, was established for us in the 16th century English Reformation. So we're very much wedded to the constitutional documents of our communion, the 1662 prayer book, which doesn't rule out other forms of liturgy, but as long as they're consistent with 1662. And of course, we very much adhere to the reformational theology of the 39 articles. So we feel that as Anglicans, we have...
Are you there, Roger?
So much.
You cut out for some reason. I don't know if you have a call coming in or something, but you went blank.
I can't see anything, Chris.
Okay, well, if you could just continue.
Okay, but I feel in many ways Anglicanism is not distinct. It's just the way it's assembled all the elements of the Reformation. So we very much belong to the Reformed family of of churches on the continent and elsewhere, and we're really the real motive behind my promoting Anglicanism is not for the sake of Anglicanism, but to allow other churches to know that with other good Protestant Reformed churches, we hold them.
Yes, and that computer noise just blotted out what you said. You hold a lot in common with other Reformed churches, is what you were saying.
That's right, and I want people to realize that because we're Anglicans, they don't have to be afraid of us, because it's a very mixed denomination, all sorts of churchmanships. I believe that true Anglicanism is the reformational Anglicanism, and I want to advocate that because so many Anglicans don't recognize it. So many Anglicans deliberately refuse to concede that we're Reformed. But we are, and that's where we stand, and that's our legitimate approach to what we are. We have so much in common with every other Reformed Christian and congregation. I remember once when I was invited to a Presbyterian gathering, and the host said, "Ah, here Roger and Maureen, they're Anglicans." And it was almost as if all the Presbyterians took a step or two back, because here in the South, people think, oh, Anglicanism, the next step is Rome. It's not the case at all.
Well, it's certainly not the case with your wing of the Anglican Church, those that are truly committed to the 39 Articles of Religion, and not just using it to give lip service to the historicity of the Anglican Church.
Yes.
You know, just on paper, if you will. By the way, yeah. Folks, for those of you unfamiliar with the 39 Articles of Religion, I, as a Reformed Baptist, can give a hearty amen to nearly every single thing included in those 39 Articles. The only difference I would have with Roger, my guest, is over the issues of paedobaptism or infant baptism, and also areas involving a church government, but in actuality right now, St. Matthew's is very much like a Reformed Baptist church in its government, since it is an independent and autonomous church at this point.
And we share our building with Reformed Baptists.
That's right. And I also, and I know that I've said this ad nauseum infinitum on this program, but I can't help but say with a sly smile on my face, that I even agree with the 39 Articles article on baptism, because it says that we should not forbid children to receive baptism. It says nothing about infants. And if a child repents and believes in the name of Christ, I would strongly urge him to be baptized.
That is, and you know, Spurgeon said there was only half a sentence that he couldn't agree with in our creed, so that's pretty close.
And by the way, I'm going to give our email address right away if any of our listeners would like to join us on the air with a question of your own. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And please, as always, give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence and your country of residence. If you live outside the USA, please only remain anonymous. If your question involves a personal and private matter, let's say you are somebody who is very enamored with N.T. Wright, and you want to criticize something our guest is saying, and you'd rather not draw attention to your identity, we will let you slide. We will let you remain anonymous. You might be even in a church that adores N.T. Wright, and your book room, your library, your bookstore is filled with his writings, his published works. You've had him speak at your own congregation from your own pulpit, but you are starting to have questions about his orthodoxy, his biblical soundness, and perhaps you're going against the grain of your pastors and your congregation. Or perhaps you're a pastor and you're going against the grain of your fellow elders or your denomination on this issue. We would understand that you would want to remain anonymous, but if it's just a theological, a doctrinal question, then please give us at least your first name, city and state, and country of residence. Well, first of all, I think it'd be wise for you to give a summary explanation of who exactly N.T. Wright is.
Well, I'll go back a little bit beyond N.T. Wright, Chris, because when I was living in Wiltshire in England in the early 1980s, I went to a series of lectures given by Dr. Leslie Holden, and that was where I got the first hint that there was a new perspective. I'd never really been familiar with it in parish life. It's something you encounter more in informed theological circles and colleges and seminaries. So I was a little bit baffled about it, and I went away thinking about some of his assertions, feeling very uneasy about them. But I always feel that you have to confront doubts head on, that if there's something that's been asserted theologically and it seems worthwhile investigating it thoroughly, you should. We shouldn't be craven about these issues. Truth will justify itself. Then, of course, I encountered James Dunn, who was of the same persuasion. And again, it caused me a great deal of unease, but I don't think I really understood what they were asserting in full. And then, of course, I began to read N.T. Wright, just essays, not his heavy volumes that he's written. And again, I felt distinctly uncomfortable. Now, that's only a subjective reaction. It doesn't prove anything. But I do feel that, in a way, you know, John, in his first letter, speaks of the fact that the people to whom he was writing didn't need to be taught because they had an anointing. And the anointing of the Spirit of God and Christ indwelling within them. And I think sometimes you get this intuitive warning about something from the Spirit of God, not to be too subjective, but it makes you think, well, I'll examine it. I don't have to be frightened of it. But, you know, I thought I would take up some of Wright's writings and see what he did affirm. The more I read it, the more uncomfortable I was. I wasn't theologically equipped, I think, to in any way refute him or even describe his divergent theology. But that came later, as I realized that it was a pastoral concern, not just academic, because everybody in academics, in a Christian sense, has to have the heart of a pastor. You are feeding the Church of God with the truth that you discover and enunciate. So ultimately, it's a pastoral issue for me, and a very serious one. And you get very concerned Christians coming to you and saying, well, what do you make of N.T. Wright? Because it's a personal issue as to how you get right with God and know it. Justification is a very personal and penetrating doctrine. Excuse me, Chris, I've got a bit of a cough.
I'm going to repeat our email address while you cough. It's chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And one thing that we should make clear, especially since we are having a discussion from an Anglican point of view, that N.T. Wright would not be someone that would be categorized as a liberal, of which there are or is an abundance in Anglicanism and Episcopalianism. There are many that are total and complete apostates who deny the pillars of the faith, who deny the Trinity, the deity of Christ, the virgin birth of Christ, the sinless life of Christ, the bodily resurrection of Christ. I believe I may have said this, but the deity of Christ. There are even religious scholars and those who have been ordained in academia who deny these things. And N.T. Wright would not be one that denies at least the things that I listed. In fact, from what I can recall, before it became more well-known, what he believed about the New Perspective, and we will get into exactly what that is momentarily. But from what I understand, your average run-of-the-mill evangelical churches were using videos and audio recordings and perhaps even other kinds of visual aids in teaching people the basics of the faith in their congregations. Isn't that not true, that he at least at one time enjoyed some kind of a popularity amongst mainstream evangelicals?
I believe so, Chris. I mean, we've been off the English scene for 24 to 26 years, so I don't have a close monitoring of what's going on in England, but I believe that is the case. And I think he's gained credibility because he's very strong and very accurate on Christian origins.
Yes, in fact, many of our listeners may be familiar with him, even if they don't immediately recognize his name. You will frequently see on secular television networks during especially Christmas and Easter, you will see these documentaries about the life of Christ, and these documentaries that are run or aired by the and created by the History Channel and National Geographic and many of these other major secular networks, they will typically feature predominantly, although not exclusively perhaps, liberal apostates who are scholars in the area of Christian history and theology. They will very often be agnostics and atheists themselves, but you wouldn't necessarily recognize that from what they are saying, because some of these folks, like John Dominic Crossan and Bart Ehrman, believe in the historicity of Christ. They believe that he actually lived, that he's not a figment of legend and folklore and myth. So when they give lectures on television about the archaeology of the first century, about the history of Christ, something of his background, his lineage, ancestry, so on, all of the cultural things that were going on in the time, they will very often be accurate, and people that I know have mistaken, people like Bart Ehrman, for instance, who is an agnostic, they've mistaken him to be a Christian because he believes still in the actual historicity of Jesus, even though he has abandoned his faith in Christ. He was at one time a rising star amongst evangelicals and was considered to be a promising, great influence in the minds of evangelical academia at one point, and he just totally abandoned the faith, although retaining some truth about the historical origins of it. Well, that's a long way of saying N.T. Wright is very often included in this group of folks in these documentaries, and ironically, he would be the conservative one, typically, in contrast to these other folks. And one of the things that's bizarre about N.T. Wright, that I don't know if you were even aware of this yourself, but I heard an interview with Dr. Wright and a liberal interviewer, Dr. Wright, although he believes firmly in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, he denies the bodily resurrection of Lazarus. And in fact, it was his way of a wrong approach to preserve a biblical truth. Since Jesus Christ was the first fruits of the resurrection, N.T. Wright appeared to believe in this discussion that that must mean that Jesus was the first to be raised from the dead, and therefore Lazarus could only have been resuscitated, not resurrected. So, very strange idea, and not a very common one amongst evangelicals. But I think I've said enough for now, and you can pick up where I left off there.
Well, no, I'm grateful for what you're saying, because I can build a little bit on it, Chris. He's known as a number of more liberal folk who are even called evangelicals because they see scripture as narrative, as story, and they tend to get credibility because they're always quoting facts from scripture, but their propositions are not necessarily accurately derived from scripture, and in many ways they avoid definite propositions in a theological sense. The emphasis is on narrative and the effect that the narrative has on your mind and imagination. There's a sense in which you can use scripture without seeing any actual objective reality at all from it. You know, the whole history of the Hebrew people, the whole history of the New Testament era and the apostles, it's all symbolic. And so you don't have to worry too much about defending fact and history. And I think there's a lot of that tied up in what N.T. Wright teaches. People have a confidence in him because he tells stories from the Bible. I don't believe he derives the right facts or conclusions from the stories that he employs from Scripture. And I think it's a trick. And I don't know if he knows that or is conscious of it, but it's very, very deceptive because they're using biblical terminology, but using it in a wrong sense. People hear familiar words and vocabulary, and they think, oh, this man is safe, I'll listen to him, but they're smuggling a lot of alien ideas into their theological presentation. And my feeling is that if we can say, and I'm not saying this in any predictive way, because we're told we're living in the last days anyway, because the next great act of God is the return of Christ. Our redemption is now complete. But I believe that when people are going to be deceived in masses towards the end of history, it's going to take very plausible theology to do that. It's got to sound biblical. And so it catches people unawares. And we as Christians have got to be alert and thoroughly taught in Scripture to be able to detect this. And I sense that the church has lost its ability to even get a whiff of false doctrine. It's going to be so close to the real thing. Satan is a great counterfeiter, and if we're not careful, he can dupe us. And I believe we're living in an era when there's so much theology that sounds right, it's also suspicious. And I feel, I'm not saying anything about two people in mind that I could quote, N.T. Wright and Fleming Rutledge, but I think these people are shadowing Scripture but smuggling a different message into it. For instance, both those two people I mentioned do not believe in a substitutionary atonement, and they argue against it. They've got another idea of substitution, but not Christ dying for our sins, bearing the consequences of our sins, relieving us of the penalty of our sins by his death. And so I think they diminish the saving power of the Lord Jesus. And that is what I find offensive. And you do find people coming to you in great perplexity because they don't necessarily, and this has nothing to do with their ability or their intelligence, they're wrapped up in other pursuits. The thing is, there are theologians who are very deft at counterfeiting and getting a claim and even making a considerable amount of money and fame from deviating from the gospel, but tempting people's appetite because it's got a little dose of scripture somewhere around it, and they think they're getting the full gospel.
Now, let me have you clarify something. Were you including N.T. Wright amongst those other theologians who deny substitutionary atonement?
Yes, I do, absolutely. To me, N.T. Wright is treated with too much deference and politeness by Orthodox theologians. They're amazed at his skill. He's a very skillful man. He's a very intelligent man. A marvelous weaver of words, a wizard of words. What we have to say, and here I agree with John MacArthur, because John MacArthur has a brief video on YouTube where he says he's been reading N.T. Wright, volumes of N.T. Wright for years, and doesn't understand him, and doesn't know what he believes. But I can tell you what he doesn't believe, and that's justification by faith, which Paul says that's how we're saved. 2 Corinthians 10, is it, or 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. And then also he doesn't agree that he bore our sins. That is a barbarous view, you know, a father killing his son. What they don't see is that Christ came willingly to be a voluntary victim in our stead. Christ, as the second person of the Trinity, is in full agreement with the mission of the Father. There's no difference between them. He came to bear our penalty out of love for sinners and obedience to the Father. And the plan of salvation, we're speaking here in very worldly, earthly terms, is agreed. It's a compact between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, where they are fully harmonious together. And I just think N.T. Wright is duping people. I have no compunction, if that's the term I need, to say this man is a massive deceiver, and he's getting license from his colleagues to spread his false teaching, and his latest book for $50, I used one of his books, and I'm just being a bit frivolous here, for a doorstop. This latest book for $50 would be an excellent way of keeping cathedral doors ajar in England.
Oh, that was funny.
And the awful thing is, the man who's backing him up on this, Robert Bird, who is at Leon Morris's seminary in Melbourne, the Bird is following the same flight path as N.T. Wright. And I don't know why other scholars defer to him. There's too much going on between academics that is not healthy for the church, Chris. They live in a world, a realm of their own. And I sometimes sense with N.T. Wright, you could put it down to my subjective reaction because of my personality, but I think that sometimes he's sneering at the people who can't catch on to his view, that they're old boys getting up preaching something that's comfortable and they know, and they don't want to make the adjustment to his theories. So I think he's a very dangerous man. I don't know if I'm getting into legal technicalities there, but I just feel he's a hazard to the church. And if you read the first chapter of Galatians, which I know he twists and turns and distorts, but I cannot see how people don't see that to some extent the curse to the person who evacuates the gospel of justification by faith, I cannot see how in some way he's liable to at least, you know, being accused of guilty of attacking the central faith of our proclamation, justification by faith through the death, resurrection, and ongoing grace of our Lord Jesus.
We're going to come right back after this first commercial break. I want to ask you something to follow up on your assertion that N.T. Wright denies substitutionary atonement. But if anybody else wants to join us, our email address again is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Always give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Roger Salter.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic.
Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's leesdrugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And if you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours with a little less than 90 minutes to go is one of my favorite guests of all time, Roger Salter, the rector of St. Matthew's Anglican Church in Birmingham, Alabama, a confessionally reformed and Protestant and conservative and biblically orthodox Anglican congregation, adhering to the 39 articles as its summary of biblical truth. If you'd like to join us on the air, we are discussing the heresy of N.T. Wright and why he is a danger to the body of Christ. We're also going to have momentarily our guest today, Roger Salter, contrast N.T. Wright as a pastor with Martin Luther and why these two stand on opposite ends of very important, vital, life-giving truths. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence. If you live outside the USA, only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. What I was going to ask you in regard to a clarification of Dr. N.T. Wright's views on substitutionary atonement, or in this specific case, his denial of substitutionary atonement, would this be something from your knowledge of him that he outright, openly, and consciously denies, or is this something that you've deduced from other things that he has written? The reason why I ask that is that I don't believe any Arminian evangelical, and I'll even throw into that mix any Amaraldian evangelical, can logically and consistently believe in the substitutionary death of Christ, even though they may claim to believe in that. Because if Christ died as a substitute for anyone, that person will certainly, without question, be in heaven with Christ after death, or if Christ should return before they die. So, even though I would consider many among those folks my precious brethren in Christ, who make that same claim as I do, that they believe in substitutionary atonement, I really don't think that their claim can stand up to scrutiny when they believe that most for whom Christ died will be in hell, according to their theology. Whereas those of us who are Reformed believe that everyone for whom Christ died will be redeemed, saved in heaven one day, because he only died for his elect. So in regard to N.T. Wright, that's my long way of asking, is this something that you've just deduced from his other statements and beliefs and teachings, or is it something that he flat out denies?
Well, I have two authorities for what I've concluded, Chris. The first is, and anybody who goes to YouTube can do this, just look up John MacArthur on N.T. Wright, and he quotes from N.T. Wright's book, The Day the Revolution Began. And he describes the atoning work of Christ, you know, that he died on the cross for sins and bearing sins, as a pagan influence. It comes from heathen thought and false religion. It is not the biblical teaching. He largely follows a view that was propounded in the 20th century by a Scandinavian bishop, Gustav Orlin. The book was called Christus Victor, and it advocates that the central theme of the atonement was Christ's defeat of the dark powers. We have been delivered through the death of Christ from the dark and evil powers that have dominated our world and humanity. There is not much thought there about atonement in the sense for sin or reconciliation of us to God. It is a very, to my mind, it contains an element of the truth. Satan was defeated by Christ's death on the cross and that was clear in the resurrection. But I do, but there are several themes in the crucifixion. But the central one for us as convinced sinners is that he died in my stead. That's justification. And, you know, first of all, Wright projects justification far into the future at the Last Judgment. We can hope for it. We're amongst, we've got a provisional justification now, but we have to be keepers of the law. And to my mind, and always says by the power of the Spirit, that suggests to me at least semi-Pelagianism, because who of us keeps the law even as believers in a way that is acceptable to God? I think he's wrong all round. And that book, The Day the Revolution Began, well, he's describing the wrong revolution, and it's not on God's side. And, you know, I have here a book that I would recommend to anyone who is seriously interested in N.T. Wright and the New Perspective. It is an excellent book, Chris. It's called Justification and the New Perspective on Paul by Guy Prentice Waters. It is a superb book. This was written some time ago in the 90s, I believe, or the early 2000s. Wright has gotten bolder and bolder over the years in what he denies and undermines. But here in his summary of Wright, can I have just a little bit of time to read one paragraph?
Oh, definitely.
This is what Dr. Walters says. Concerning the death of... Oh, sorry.
Let me repeat our email address while you clear your throat. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, at least your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Are you okay now, Roger?
I am. I've got a good formula for croaky throats, Chris. H2O. And, concerning the death of Christ, says Dr. Prentice, more generally considered, Wright concedes that we may speak of Christ's death as atoning and propitiatory. Nevertheless, in terms of expressing the mechanism whereby Christ's death is applied to the believer, Wright is consistently vague. Although Wright uses language of the law to speak of Christ's death was judicial punishment in Christ, sin was condemned, Wright also rejects imputation as a Pauline doctrine. Consequently, one cannot speak in traditional terms of the pardon of the believer's sin by reason of imputation. Where Christ's death does connect with the believer's experience, in Wright's view, is as it defeat in its defeats of the powers of sin and death, which I was saying was Orland's point of view and Rutledge's point of view, Fleming Rutledge. So he's gotten bolder by saying, really, it's an importation into Paul's teaching of a heathen theme, heathen thought. And he just sees the idea of substitution as too bloody and too barbaric for us to consider to be the truth of God. And that's precisely what one of the great lords of the realm said to George Whitefield when he was preaching in one of these lounge room sessions with the aristocrats before him, and he preached the substitution of Christ. I don't know if it was Lord Bolingbroke, but somebody like that leapt up and said, you know, this is barbarism. This is barbarism. People cannot understand that Christ willingly bore, you know, the penalty, dreadful as it was, for our disobedience and our offenses. So I believe that he takes from the Christian believer the very essence of Christ's atoning work. I believe in propounding all of his philosophical and ancient language knowledge, I believe he's taking the scriptures out of the hands of the ordinary person and saying, you've got to go to the specialist, you've got to go to the expert. And you know, scripture tells us that we have a message that even he who runs can read. And you know, the idea that any devout person who trusts in Christ picks up the Bible and is so misled all the way through, point after point, I think is outrageous. We don't need the academics. They're there to serve us and to serve God with humility and in truthfulness and in dependence upon Him. And I think it's become a big game of I'm better than you. My thesis is better than yours. My books sell more than yours. There's a lot of pride and arrogance in the academy. And it's good. We need it. But I just think that we kowtow too much to these people who say, I've got the answer. I've got the idea. God leads His people to an understanding of Scripture. And I know there's a lot of silly, you know, individual views that people can adopt. But when we go back to that idea of John, that we have an anointing and a sense of what is right, even if we can't articulate it, we know that something smells.
Just out of curiosity, I was wondering if you could
confirm.
I'm sorry. You completely cut out again, so I didn't know you were not finished with your statement.
Oh, sorry, Chris.
Want to say the last few words of what you just said?
Well, I was saying that I think, as John says in his letter, that every believer has an anointing, and that is the Spirit of God within them. And I think when we encounter something that is dubious, we might be calm for a little while, but we begin to catch on intuitively that this is not right. It's not consistent with the revelation of God. And somehow we you know, divest ourselves of some of these heresies that are so cunning, so artful. I mean, the devil is a genius at presenting error as truth. And I just have this dreadful fear that we have certain theologians labeled as evangelicals in our time who are poisoning the minds of the people of God and leading the church astray.
I'd like you to give a summary before I go to any listener questions, which I will go to listener questions when we return from our midway break momentarily. So please be patient, folks, those of you who have sent in questions already. But if you could, in summary, explain the new perspective on Paul, which is something that N.T. Wright has become very well known for. In fact, it seems to be synonymous with him. And our friends who are adherents of the Federal Vision Movement, you'll have a mixture of those that agree with N.T. Wright on this, and you'll have those that adamantly disagree with him, and they will say, stop mixing us and confusing us with new perspective advocates. We are not. We're different. So, but I've met people on both sides of that coin, if you will, in the Federal Vision, so those that adhere to what N.T. Wright teaches and those who disagree with him on it. But if you could, in summary, what is Federal Vision? Why has it become synonymous with N.T. Wright? Did he coin that phrase, actually? And why is it so dangerous?
Can I just make an observation quickly, Chris?
In fact, make the observation, and then we'll go to our midway break, and you can answer my question when we return from the break.
I've been losing you from time to time as well. And
oh, really?
Yes, but the new perspective is too broad a field to cover and sum up, because the main proponents of it disagree in detail with each other. And where I am most concerned about N.T. Wright is purely on justification and atonement, because these are pastoral issues.
Well, from what I understand, and you can correct me if I misspoke at all, the main problem with the new perspective on Paul is that it advocates an idea that, especially in the book of Galatians, evangelicals and the reformers specifically, and all their heirs, were off base, were incorrect in our efforts to exegete Paul's letter to the church at Galatia, when we deduce from that letter and conclude that Paul was declaring as damning heresy anyone who would add faith to works. I'm sorry, vice versa. Anyone who had works to faith in order to be justified. And we deduce that from Paul's letter to the Galatians, because the Judaizers were teaching that one had to be circumcised in addition to having faith in Christ. And for all that we know, the Judaizers, whom Paul declared were false Christians that had no gospel at all, and he declared them accursed, the only difference they had with biblically orthodox Christians that we know of is that they insisted on circumcision in addition to everything else. From what we know, they were Trinitarian. From what we know, they were believers in the necessity of believing in Christ as their Lord and Savior and Messiah. We don't know of anything that they disagreed with us on other than this addition of circumcision as a necessity. And therefore, Paul condemned them for having no gospel at all. And when the New Perspective Advocate, including N.T. Wright, exegetes or attempts to exegete Galatians, they have determined that Paul was merely condemning racial and ethnic bigotry of the Jews, who were claiming that their Gentile brothers and sisters had to become a part of this exclusively Jewish club known as Christianity. Yeah. And that is what Paul was condemning, not an addition of works to faith. Did I summarize that in some way correctly?
I think so, Chris. It's a question of identity. How does a Gentile get into the people of God? And the Jews were saying, well, you go through all the Jewish rites and observe all the ceremonies. And that's the ceremonial law. And so they say, well, Paul is abolishing the ceremonial law for the sake of Gentiles. And all you've got to do is say, and the Jews...
And you cut out again. Roger, are you there?
The ethnic people of God are to be a passé now, and you come to the family of God, the family of Abraham, through acknowledgement of the lordship of Christ.
Okay, Bob, we're going to have you pick up there, because we have to go to our midway break. This is the longer than normal break, folks, so if you could, please be patient with us. Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show so that they can air public service announcements to localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to Lake City, Florida, while we air our globally heard commercials. Please make best use of this time by writing down as much of the information as you can provided by our advertisers so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize them. Because keep in mind, folks, if our advertisers decide to cancel their contracts with us, we will go off the air. We absolutely rely upon our advertisers to exist. So please, try to keep them happy. Keep them supporting us financially by patronizing them. Also, send in your questions. Write down your questions during this break for our guest, Roger Salter, on N.T. Wright, on the New Perspective on Paul in general, on biblically orthodox reformed Anglican theology, etc. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Don't go away. We will be right back right after these messages from our sponsors.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. You, I have to say, you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything, so we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself. Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible,
an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti. Owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's leesdrugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast broadcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how He shall be worshipped and how He shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Are you a Christian looking to align your faith and finances? Then you'll want to check out Thrivin Financial. We're not your typical financial services provider. We're a not-for-profit Fortune 500 organization that helps our nearly 2.4 million members be wise with money. We provide guidance that reflects your values so you can protect what matters most. We help members live generously and strengthen the communities where they live, work, and worship. Learn more about the Thrivin story by contacting me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433.
We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life.
Blending faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please don't forget, folks, always make solid-ground-books.com your very first stop for all of your gift-giving needs. And I know that my dear friend and guest today, Reverend Roger Salter, loves Solid Ground Christian Books as well, don't you, Roger?
I would endorse that fully. I've got some lovely books from Mike's catalog.
Mike Gaidosh, the founder of Solid Ground Christian Books, is to whom he's referring. And so whether you are purchasing gifts for your loved one's wedding anniversaries, whether it be for birthdays, whether it be for retirement gifts, you're celebrating a baptism, you are celebrating someone's going back to school because you're getting them out of the house. Whatever the case may be, even if it's a bereavement gift, somebody that you know has lost a precious loved one, go to solid-ground-books.com. There is, as they say, a plethora, a treasure trove of Christian literature, the finest of Christian literature from the past and the present, that you can find at solid-ground-books.com. And our Anglican and Episcopalian listeners today, which there may be an abundance of since we are interviewing Roger Salter, you will be very pleased to know that solid-ground-books.com has books about and by some of the church's finest representatives of Anglicanism throughout history, even a contemporary figure who is a thoroughgoing Protestant and confessional Anglican, Thomas Isham. I think you're familiar with him, aren't you, Roger?
Very much so. His biography of Augustus Top Lady is superb.
And he also wrote a biography, I believe, of a 20th century Bishop McIlvaney, I believe?
Bishop McIlvaine.
McIlvaine, yes. Was that correct that he's a 20th century bishop or a 19th century?
19th, yes.
Okay. But go to solid-ground-books.com and always mention Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio as your source for discovering solid-ground-books.com. We depend on Solid Ground Christian Books to exist. They are a vital, a key, a core, a premier sponsor of this program. If they were to, by necessity, cease sponsoring this program, we might very likely go off the air. We depend upon their finances so much. Barring a miracle of God, we would go off the air. So please say thanks to them by purchasing as many books as possible from them at solid-ground-books.com. Always mention us as your source of discovering about Solid Ground Christian Books. Also, folks, I want to give you a heads up, especially for my Anglican and Episcopalian listeners today. We have scheduled for Tuesday, the 22nd of September, Archbishop Peter Robinson of the United Episcopal Church. This is a biblically orthodox, conservative, confessional, reformed denomination adhering to the 39 Articles of Religion. Peter Robinson will be discussing the fall of the Episcopalian Church or the Episcopal Church and the rise of biblically orthodox Episcopal bodies. I hope that you tune in on Tuesday, September 22nd, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern, to hear Archbishop Peter Robinson of the United Episcopal Church. And, of course, our show airs every day, Monday through Friday, so tune in every day if you can to this program. In fact, tomorrow I'm looking forward to having Danny Faulkner of Answers in Genesis on. He's going to be refuting the flat earth theory, and believe it or not, folks, there are adherents to the flat earth understanding of the planet Earth who reject the globe notion of the Earth, and they really do exist. And Danny Faulkner has written a book, Falling Flat, that will seek to refute that view. And we have a host of other guests and fascinating topics as well in the days and weeks ahead. Also, folks, if you love this show and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly via debit or credit card in that fashion. You can join folks like my guest today, Roger Salter. He and his wife, Maureen, have been very faithful and generous supporters of this show financially. I just received a gift from them recently, just about 2 days ago, and I've been thanking God for it ever since. And if you can give as well, we would really appreciate your benevolence and generosity as it is urgently needed. We lost our two largest financial supporters during the COVID pandemic hysteria, their businesses were so horribly impacted by the hysteria that they had to, at least temporarily, hopefully just temporarily, cease from their financial support of this show. So please help us make for that, make up for that enormous financial loss. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Please never siphon money away from your regular giving to your local church where you are a member in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please don't punish your church, as it were, by benefiting and blessing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Also, do not put your own family, your wife and your children, in financial peril by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio if you're already struggling to survive. Those two things are commands in Scripture. Providing for your church and home, providing for my radio show, obviously, is not a command of Scripture. But if you're financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, you love the show, you don't want it to disappear, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can also mail in checks the old-fashioned way via snail mail to the address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. You can also advertise with us by sending me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. As long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe, we would love to help you promote whatever it is that you want to promote on the show. We are in urgent need of your advertising dollars. You don't need to believe identically as I do, but you need to be promoting something that is at the very least compatible with what we believe. Also, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church, and you're not even prayerfully looking for one, please repent of that. You need to be under the authority of local elders in a local biblically faithful church in order to be faithful to Christ. That is indeed if such a church exists in your area. And there are many in our audience who have already contacted me because they were not aware of biblically faithful churches in certain parts of the world. Sometimes that I have discovered were within just a couple of minutes from where they live. If you are in that category, you need a church, I can help you, God willing, from the lists that I have of biblically faithful churches all over the planet Earth. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. I want to give a shout-out to our listener who just emailed me during the show looking for a church in the Kentucky, Ohio area. So I will get on that as soon as the show is over, and I will try to give you options to choose from. But that's also the email address where you can send in a question to Roger Salter on N.T. Wright and the heresies that endanger the church from his lips and from his writings. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Always give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence. If you live outside the USA, only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And, Roger, I was just having you clarify a summary of what the new perspective on Paul is, and I basically said that one of the reasons it is of great concern to those who treasure as a hallmark of the Christian faith justification by faith alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, put all of our trust in our salvation, in the finished once and for all work of Christ on Calvary, with nothing that we add at all except for our sin. Those of us who claim that as a vital and core belief of the Christian faith are troubled by the new perspective, because one of its claims is that Paul was not condemning the addition of works to faith to be justified in his letter to the Galatians and other places, that he was only condemning a Jewish exclusivity in the church. And if you could pick up where I left off there.
Yes, the idea of N.T. Wright and the NPP is that Paul was not talking about the moral law in Galatians, or about our sinfulness, but a matter of identity, that we, as Gentiles, need to enter the community of Christ, and we don't have to observe any of the Jewish requirements to do that now. We're freed from that obedience to the law, circumcision, various other things that characterized the Jewish people. The gospel is that all people are now welcome in this community, that is to honor Christ as King and Lord and resurrected, and as a community, reflect the character of God to the world, so that ultimately through our works and obedience, the world is one to God. And I feel there's a lack of intensity when it comes to spirituality, a lack of reality when it comes to our own moral accountability and sinfulness. I believe it robs us of a very personal need and meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ. I think right doctrine of sin, in personal terms, is weak. Ultimately, and a lot of people see this, that he's moving in the direction of a social gospel, because mainly that's what Christ came to fulfill when the world becomes just under his reign, that there will be peace among mankind, and, you know, the predominance of love and mutual concern and courtesy. I just feel that the doctrine of redemption, in a personal and spiritual way, is very weak, and that he presents us with an entanglement of ideas that are hard to separate. They're strung upon a series of misquoted texts, but people hear the text and they think, oh, this man is biblical, we can trust him. I just don't think you can trust him for a moment. And the MPP, as I understand it, says that Judaism wasn't a religion devoid of grace. They believed in grace. Paul was very happy as a Jew. He was happy with his law-keeping. He had no questions, no anguish of conscience. He just made this transference to being obedient to Christ in this new, more open era. And Luther was somebody who I heard when I was in England attending lectures on Luther, that he was a man of profound psychological concern and illness, that he was somebody who was caught up in this anguish of soul that is not necessary. Can I read something?
Yes, definitely.
This is from an interview with N.T. Wright some years ago. As I say, he's much bolder now in what he denies and how he denies it. But anyway, he says, Luther comes to the question, how can I find a gracious God? He approaches this question from his Augustinian framework. He was an Augustinian monk. Actually, he claimed that he didn't understand Augustine that well until after he had been converted, which might not be the case. This we do know. His antithesis of grace works or faith law was strongly conditioned by his own soul struggles, the struggles to be an obedient monk, and what he thought all this hinged upon. This was all rooted in the world of medieval Catholicism. Luther, then, is reading Paul, looking for the bits and pieces that will help him resolve his particular question. Very clearly, there were thousands and thousands of other people at the time who were facing exactly the same question, and were thrilled to hear there was a different answer than they had been given. So he's saying that Luther was really struggling with personal issues that determined how he interpreted Paul. And he mentions this along with Aquinas on transubstantiation. Both of these men were conditioned by, you know, the mindset of their time. And so he says he's just like Aquinas, but just like the matter of transubstantiation, the problem here is that this has led us down some pretty murky paths. So justification by faith from Martin Luther has led us down some very murky paths.
According to N.T. Wright.
Yes, yes. And he says justification is not a salvation word. It's a second-order doctrine. Justification is about God being faithful to his covenant.
Well, that actually, that are you finished with that? Because I do have a question that is actually...
Yes.
Okay, we have a question from RJ in White Plains, New York, that really relates to what you just said. RJ says, is a denial of the Reformation understanding of justification by faith alone one of the reasons, in your opinion, that N.T. Wright and his advocates are very ecumenical, typically, with Roman Catholics, and do not view the Church of Rome as a false church or with some true teachings, but view it as a true church with some false teachings.
Well, ecumenism is one of the great aims of N.T. Wright. He won't tie himself down to any doctrinal statement from the past. He doesn't like confessions of faith. He doesn't like the traditional interpretation of Scripture. And when people say, well, in some instance, look, he's such a confusing person, and I'm not sure he really knows what he's trying to say either. I think he has a reaction against his evangelical past, and he's just got to escape from it because it affects his mind. It makes him uncomfortable somehow or other, and I think it's in the area of conviction of sin. And he doesn't really have a pastoral answer. He says Luther is a man of anguish because he's got a medieval mind. Well, David wasn't medieval, and he wrote Psalm 51 out of anguish for his sinfulness. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Please have mercy upon me. Was David psychologically ill as well? We all are in that sense. Our conscience makes us all psychologically uncomfortable.
And of course,
we bring it to God.
And of course, Luther's view that he might have even been losing his mind from his own words was when he was still a Roman Catholic monk and had not yet discovered the answer to being at peace with God. Am I right?
Lost you, Kurt. Lost you.
What I was saying was that Luther did fear that he had lost his sanity, but he was still a monk at the time. He was still a Roman Catholic monk who physically tortured himself trying to appease God and be at peace with him. So that did not continue throughout his life after becoming convinced that he had peace with God by his justification through faith alone.
Well, I might have missed something in Wright's 30 volumes, which I don't intend to read. If I want to read him, I go to a library. I'm not lining his pocket with his false teaching. The fact is that he doesn't seem to recognize that we are in combat not just with sin and evil of a human nature, but of a supernatural nature. And we are being attacked constantly by, the great arch-enemy of the Lord himself, Satan and his demons. And they would drive us insane if only they could. So we are dealing with possibilities of insanity, if we want to put it that way. If Satan gets dominion over us, he will do anything he can to destroy our peace and destroy us. But I just don't find that there's an acute sense of sin in N.T. Wright's teaching at all. Sin is seen in social terms. The gospel is seen ultimately in social terms. He's very ecumenical. He's very socially conscious about the injustices of the world, as we all should be. But the gospel is much more than that. And so I would say there are an awful lot of people like Luther who are wanting to find a gracious God, and I don't find that problematic at all. I think that's the best thing that can happen to us.
Now, it's interesting that you have said that N.T. Wright doesn't seem to be concerned with sin, because it makes me wonder why any adherent of the federal vision would find an affection toward him. And again, I'm not saying that all Federal Vision adherents are N.T. Wright fans, but I have met a number that are. And even though I disagree adamantly with the Federal Visionist answer to sin and believing, having an extreme view that someone who is truly a member of the covenant of Christ can be removed from it because of their simple behavior and their lack of repentance of it, that is, how they could have that view and at the same time embrace N.T. Wright, which, from what you are saying, does not seem to take sin seriously.
Well, I think the Federal Vision, which has absorbed to a large extent the views of N.T. Wright, he's not the originator of it, but they've adopted him. They have very strange views about original sin, and that the children of two believing federal visionists, their children are cleansed in the womb. They are not born sinful. And, you know, I can't go into all the physical characteristics of this, but apparently the egg in the mother and the sperm in the father are both sanctified, and that product of that union can be already sanctified before they are formed in the womb.
Wow, I didn't know that about federal vision belief.
Crazy ideas.
Sounds like the Immaculate Conception heresy of the Roman Catholic Church regarding to Mary.
It's something like that. And I'll tell you something that I probably shouldn't, but I will, Chris. My church was just about emptied by federal visionists. They found us as a community of Anglicans. They wanted something sacramental. They have a very Anglo-Catholic quality to them, which they probably don't recognize as Anglo-Catholic. And they're sacramentalists. You become elect when you're baptized. You're not elect before the commencement of creation. You're elect in the waters of baptism. And it's a total distortion. They say they follow the Westminster Confession. They're just like right. They twist and distort everything they claim to follow. And it's such a mishmash. And like right, and they are the same, you pin them down and say, well, what do you believe about this? And they say, well, we haven't quite formulated our complete point of view yet. They dodge and duck around like circus.
And you've cut out again. But I can say from personal experience that the federal vision movement is not a monolith, and there seems to be some disagreement amongst them, although most of the folks that I know that would disagree with your description of them don't even acknowledge that these disagreements exist among them. So I know that they are not monolithic. In fact, they, even though I think that in the vast majority believe in infant communion, they don't all believe in it, and other things like that.
That was an issue for us, Chris, infant communion. When I told people that we would consider children who could confess their...
Yes, I don't know what's going on, why you keep cutting out, Roger. It's kind of a strange thing going on. I don't know if somebody's trying to call you or what it is, but you do have occasion to cut out. We have a listener. We have, in fact, let me first go to Donald in Jacksonville, North Carolina. He says... Is justification by faith alone marginal, optional, or central in the Anglican Church in North America, or original sin? This scribe doesn't hear it. Well, obviously, that is not the denomination that you are in, the ACNA, Anglican Church of North America, since your church is independent, which some would say is an oxymoron if you're calling yourself an Anglican.
Absolutely.
From what you know about the Anglican Church of North America, and by the way, I do have friends in that denomination. I have even interviewed folks in that denomination who I believe are nearly on the same exact page as I am theologically. But what do you have to say about this?
Well, could I mention David Virtue and Virtue Online?
Yes, sure.
Because of what Anglicanism is, you know, a vast expanse of different points of view and spiritualities, he covers that whole expanse, you know, on his website. But if you go to it, you can find a lot of very good evangelical and reformed Anglican articles and points of view. So I long for the day when we have an Anglican body of believers who adhere to what I consider to be our constitutional documents, and we're not stuck there, we're not static, we can develop and grow from the heritage that we have, but we won't contradict it. And I long for the day when you can go to an Anglican denomination that is safely, truly, perpetually reformed in its position. It's a mess at the moment, and I've learned from Anglicans of other persuasions. I've learned, you know, good things from them. But I just feel that we don't yet have that accurate reflection of historic Anglicanism in a denominational form.
And hence your hesitancy to have St. Matthew's join one of the denominations yet, anyway.
Yes, I mean, it's not because we're arrogant or we think we're right. It's just that when you come under the authority of a bishop and a denomination, you want to be sure that you're going to be supported, that you're not in any way going to be blindsided by discipline for holding the doctrines that you do, as I happen to be. And I'm not saying that out of a wounded sort of soul. I'm just saying that you've got to be very careful that your government of any body or denomination or congregation is sound theologically. Because if we sign a document of obedience to an authority that is going to be over us, it's got to be an authority you can trust and love and work with. And bishops can be very devious, dangerous people.
Well, thank you, Donald, in Jacksonville, North Carolina. Please keep listening to Iron Trip and Zion Radio and spreading the word in North Carolina and beyond about the program. Bruce in Hoover, Alabama says, has any community of Christian churches globally, whose role, among other things, is to protect the truth of God's word, formally pronounced this man's teaching as unbiblical and in direct opposition to the word of God? If so, who? And he has a second follow-up question. I'm assuming he's talking about a denomination, like an official denominational opposition or declaration of the falsehood of N.T. Wright.
Well, I know that the Presbyterians, maybe even a decade ago, I don't know, their national convention was based on dealing with the federal visionists because it was so divisive. I don't know the outcome of that and whether it's gone into some sort of documentation that affects the whole denomination, the Presbyterian Church of America. But I do know some of its best representatives as theologians deal very courteously, very politely, very fairly with N.T. Wright, but disagree with him strongly theologically. I find their patience, I understand it. We are meant to be patient and courteous, but you get to a point with certain people where you realize what a danger they are and that you shouldn't be fellowshipping with them. And so I am a little more hot-headed, perhaps, than a lot of these people who are courteous and deferential to Wright, because he's a great scholar, he's a great mind, he's a very gifted person, but so have many heretics been. When Bernard of Clairvaux in the 12th century, that wonderful man whom both Lutheran quoted second only to Augustine, when they quote the Church Fathers, they quote Bernard of Clairvaux on election and justification and all the doctrines we hold dear, more than any other authority in the church, when he was dealing with the heresies of Peter Abelard, told him that Satan provides those who speak on his behalf with the words that they use, and even the scriptures that they use, but they twist the scriptures that they use. And that is more dangerous sometimes than a direct and detectable heresy.
Well, we are going to our final break, and when we return, I'll ask Bruce from Hoover, Alabama, second a follow-up question. If anybody else would like to join us, please send in your email now before we run out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages with more of Roger Salter.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Iron Works, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to ptlbiblerebinding.com. That's ptlbiblerebinding.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania,
Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878. Welcome back, and this is our final segment of our interview today with Roger Salter on the heresies of N.T. Wright, and we have a second question from Bruce in Hoover, Alabama, who says, "Have any denominations or Christian communities formally embraced the heresy of N.T. Wright?" An exact opposite question from the first one.
Well, it's spread throughout a number of denominations, actually, Chris. It's affected a lot of Presbyterian congregations. Obviously, it gets a lot of endorsement from Anglican congregations, but it has spread throughout the whole evangelical world, certainly. And I don't know that there are any specific bodies that, how can I put it, affirm it as part of their denominational stance. But the thing is just so widespread. It is ecumenical.
Well, I'd like you to have about 3 minutes or so to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today in regard to this warning that you have about the writings and teachings of N.T. Wright.
It may not be a good conclusion, but I've got a quote here from The Challenge of Paul, one of Wright's more recent books. Can I really rattle that off?
Of course, you can. Of course.
Okay. He says, if we come with the question, how do we get to heaven, or in Martin Luther's terms, how can I find a gracious God, and if we try to squeeze an answer to those questions out of what Paul says about justification, see how patronizing this is? That's me, not himself. He will probably find one. It may not be totally misleading, but...
Are you there, Roger? You're cut off.
...holistic framework, in which the only question that matters is whether we humans have behaved ourselves and so amassed a store of merit, and if not, where we can find such a store amassed by someone else on our behalf. It's about the vocational framework in which humans are called to reflect God's image in the world, and about the rescue operation whereby God has, through Jesus, set humans free to do exactly that. And I feel that that is, it's maybe me, and maybe I need more sanctification. But the fact is, I find that almost sneering at traditional believers in justification by faith.
Well, we have time for one more question from CJ in Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York. And CJ wants to know, why do you name the name of someone in your interview today, like N.T. Wright? Shouldn't it be best if we just expose the heresy without naming the person by name? Well, you would be in disagreement, CJ, with the Apostle Paul. Hi, Miletus and Philetus, he mentioned by name. But any other comments you have, Roger?
Well, you know, the teachers in the early first century of the church, there were a lot of peripatetic teachers who went around. They had to, if they were genuine, arrive with a commendation in print on a scroll or whatever they used at the time to say that they were genuinely disciples of Christ and to be listened to, because there was so much false teaching and so many heretics circulating around the early, you know, second, first century, that you need to know their names. Call them out so you can identify them and people aren't fooled.
And, of course, you have to be very careful whenever you do something like this, because you don't want to be guilty of violating one of the key commandments of the Decalogue, bearing false witness against your neighbor. That is, thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor.
Yes.
And I think that our guest today, Roger Salter, has provided ample quotes directly from the writings of N.T. Wright to bolster his accusations as being true and accurate. Well, I want to thank you so much for being such a superb guest once again. Roger, if you could remain on the phone while we go off the air so I can schedule you for another interview. You always have an open door here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio for an interview. And I want to remind our listeners that you can find out more about St. Matthew's Anglican Church of Birmingham, Alabama at stmanglican.weebly.com. STM, which stands for St. Matthew's, anglican.weebly.com. You can also go to rogersalter.com, rogersalter.com, and Salter is spelled without the P as in Peter, unlike the great hymn book from the Old Testament canon. And I want to remind you folks, especially our Episcopalian and Anglican listeners, Archbishop Peter Robinson is our guest, God willing, on Tuesday, September 22nd, to discuss the fall of the Episcopal Church and the rise of biblically Orthodox Episcopal groups and bodies. I want to thank all of you for listening, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far, far greater Savior than you are a sinner.